Tonight, my message is entitled, Unforgiveness. In this world today, it seems like no matter where you go, there's people that's holding grudges that won't forgive others for what maybe they've done to them. And a lot of people's ripped other people off. People have mistreated you maybe badly. And it's something you think you can never forgive. And because of that, you hold the grudges, you get mad, you get angry, you want to get even. You want that person to pay for what they did to you. And you know, Satan loves that. He says, all right, we got a lot of people hating each other. We want people to wreck each other's lives. And when you hold grudges, when you're angry, when you're bitter, when you're mad at other people, it can cause all sorts of problems in your life. One thing, it can cause health problems. When you're bitter, it eats at people like a cancer. And it can cause stress in people's lives. It can cause high blood pressure. It can cause ulcers. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You're a nervous wreck because you want to get even with that person. What can you do to them? And every time you think about them, it just eats at you. It gives you that sinking feeling in your stomach. And besides the health problems it can cause emotional problems. You just can't smile like you used to smile. And whenever that person's around, you get that knotted stomach. And you can't go up to that person with a smile on your face and shake hands and say, how you doing? You just can't do it. You try to avoid that person. When you see him, maybe you just get angry. You get short-fused, and it keeps eating and eating. And there's another problem when you have unforgiveness. It's a spiritual problem. Maybe you're a Christian, and you just can't forgive that person. You know what that does to your spiritual life? It starts putting a wedge between you and God. The fellowship between you and God just starts eroding, deteriorating. And even the love for other people just isn't there like it was. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, the results of being a true Christian, it talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Here's the fruit of the Spirit when you have Christ living within you. It says you have the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And when you have that unforgiving spirit, you compromise that. You don't have that love, that joy, that peace. And it keeps eating at you. But you know what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15? It says this. This is what Jesus says. If you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father also forgives you. But if you forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So forgive those that forgive you. Wow. Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes you think, how can I forgive that person? That's good. That's rough. That's hard to do. But I'll tell you this further. What Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 47. This is harder yet. It says, you have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But Jesus says this. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully uses you and persecutes you. That's hard to do, isn't it? Wow. And it says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. For if you love them which love you, what reward is that? Do not even the heathens do the same thing? we're held to a higher standard as Christian. We got to even pray for those people that despitefully use us, and people that hate us. Do good to them, love them, love your enemies. Wow. How can we do that? And in 1 Corinthians, it talks about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God." The person isn't saved. The person doesn't have Jesus Christ in their heart. It says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually dead." Unless you have the love of Christ, these things that Jesus just talked about, you really can't do. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, here's what God says. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Only through Christ that we can have that superpower of forgiving people. People has done us wrong. In the flesh, we can't do that. And, you know, I thought it'd be impossible to be praying for somebody that's done us wrong. But I'll tell you, a person I seen do that, my grandma. My grandma was one of the most godly people I've ever seen. She lived to be 108 years old. That's almost right there with the book of records, isn't it? 108. She was a godly woman. And I remember when she was about 100 years old, she's still living alone in a two-story house in Mishawaka, all by herself. She'd go up and down the steps by herself. She never used a cane, a walker. She had original teeth. The only problem she had a hard time of hearing. She had to have hearing aids. She'd do her own cooking, her own laundry. She'd bake cakes and pies for us when we'd come visit her. And she was always kind and always cared about other people. She taught me a lot on how a true Christian should be. But I remember at 100 years old, during the night when she was in bed, she slept at the second floor of the house in the bedroom, take her hearing aids out. She had her purse right beside her bed. And one night, somebody broke in the house. Went upstairs, snuck in her bedroom, took all her money and stuff out of her purse. And she didn't have much. And she had a little stereo system that my brother had bought her, and it was in the living room downstairs, and probably people or kids that were walking by her house probably could look right in the living room, see the little stereo system. Well, they stole that too. And I call her up on the phone when I found out about this. And I said, "Grandma, how you doing? Are you all right?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Are you scared to be home alone in the house?" "Oh, no, not at all." You know, she had the Lord there to take care of her. And I said, "You know, I've been praying for you, Grandma. I care about you." She says, "You know, that's good. I'm really thankful that you care about me." But you know what she said? She says, "You need to pray for them kids that broke into my house. They need the Lord. We need to be praying for them." She wasn't cared about the money she lost or the stereo system she lost. She was concerned about those kids' souls. Wow. Pray for them that persecute you, that hate you, that steal from you. And great is your reward is in heaven. She was a godly woman. Yes. I want to talk about another story Jesus talked about in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, I think it starts with. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Here's a story Jesus talked about forgiveness. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who would take the account of his servants. He wanted to see what each of his servant owed him, where they stood financially with the king. And when he had begun to check, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. In those days, that's millions of dollars a servant owed him. But inasmuch as he had not the money to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, that he could pay the debt. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, that I may pay you all back. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and forgave him of all his debt. Here the king forgave him all this millions of dollars that he owed him. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which was just a miserly amount of money, maybe $5-$10, okay? Owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that what you owe me. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he would pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorrowful and came and told the king all that was done. And then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave you of all of your debt. And should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even that I had pity on you? And the king was upset and delivered him to tormentors till he should pay all that he was due. So likewise shall our heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of your brothers that trespass against you. So here was a man that his whole debt, he owed millions of dollars. And the king said, I'm going to let you off the hook. Then this same guy goes out, and the guy owes him a few bucks. And he doesn't have mercy on that fellow person. Isn't that what we do a lot of times? You know, somebody's done us wrong, and we won't forgive them. But there's been others that we have hurt. And we've hurt them over and over and over again. And they've have compassion and forgive us and forgave us over and over again. But we won't forgive others. And I have a story here I want to share that kind of relates the same thing. Even Christians don't always forgive brothers and sisters in the Lord. And here's a story I want to share that relates to what we're talking about, unforgiveness. One night at a church service, a woman felt a tug of God at her heart. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. The young woman had a very rough past involving alcohol, drugs, and prostitution. But the change in her was evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church. She eventually became involved in the ministry, teaching young children. It was not very long until this faithful young woman had caught the eye and heart of the pastor's son. The relationship grew, and they began to make plans for a wedding. This is when the problems began. You see, about half the church did not think that that woman with a past such as hers was suitable for the pastor's son. the church began to argue and fight about the matter. So they decided to have a meeting. As the people made their arguments, tensions increased. The meeting was getting completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things that was being brought up about her past. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood to speak. He could not bear the pain it was causing his future wife. He began to speak, and his statement was this. He says, "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin. Today you have put the blood of Christ on trial. So does it wash away sin or not?" he says. And the whole church began to weep as they realize what they have been slandering the blood of their Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor's son continued. He said, "Too often, even as Christians, we bring up the past and we use this as a weapon against our brothers and sisters. Forgiveness is the very foundational part of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood of Jesus Christ does not cleanse the other person completely, then it cannot cleanse us completely. If that is the case, then we're all in a lot of trouble. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Case closed. Yes, Jesus Christ can wash away all sins, all the past. Why worry about the speck in our brother's eye when we have a, you know, the sins of unforgiveness and other sins, the drugs, the alcohol, pornography, all these sins is a weight that drags us down. It restrains us. It's like trying to run a marathon, a 26-mile run, having a ball and chain connected to our leg. On the race of life, how far are you going to go with a ball and chain wrapped around your ankle, 25 pounds of weight? Can you run the marathon? Are you going to keep up? It's going to be rough. Everybody's going to pass you by, and you wonder why. It's because of the sin in your life. You wonder why other people are getting ahead. Sin in our lives, it'll drag us down. It'll make us miserable. Separated from God is that sin. We need to get rid of that sin. We need to run the race with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily trips us up." Jesus says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He died on the cross for each and every one of us. He can take away the bondage, the chains away when we call upon Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and it says, Jesus urged his disciples to get on a ship and to go before him unto the other side of the lake. And while he had sent the multitudes away, he went to the mountain apart from all the others to pray. And when the evening had come, he was there all alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea with his disciples on, and it was being tossed and turned by the waves and the wind. And in the fourth watch, of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered and said unto the Lord, "If thou bidst me, Lord, let me come unto you onto the water." And the Lord said, "Come, Peter." And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Peter's walking on the water towards Jesus Christ. And it says, "But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" See what happened to Peter when he got his eyes off Jesus? Yeah. When he started worrying and wavering of the troubles that was before him, he got scared of the winds and the waves, and he started to sink. And he yelled, "Lord, save me." And it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "Thou of little faith, why dost thou doubt?" So right here, this little story shows us that during the trials, the tribulations, the hard times of our lives, the winds and the waves hitting on us, we need to look onto the Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't need to waver. We need to stand for Jesus, and he'll take care of us. And it says, when he cried, how soon did it take Jesus to stretch forth his hand? It says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. We need to have our whole life resting upon Jesus Christ. We need to run that race of life, looking at the finish line, which is Jesus Christ at the end, saying, "Come on, come on. I'm here." Even through the trials, even through the sad times, even through the bad times, he's there. Even when we don't think he is. And sometimes our trials and our tribulations are there to bring us closer to him. Of the 17 years I've been coming here, I don't know how many times people said, "You know, coming here was the most blessed thing that ever happened in my life, because I got my life straightened around. I got saved here at the Cass County Jail. Now I'm living for Jesus. If I wouldn't have come here, I might be dead now or high on drugs." And sometimes the trials are there, a blessing in disguise. The storms are trials in disguise. And Jesus says in Matthew's chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you heavy laden? Do you need rest? Jesus says, "Come to me." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." Do you need rest for your soul? Only Jesus Christ can give you that. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Jesus says. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "And I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." How many? All things are become new when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And I'm about ready to close tonight. And this is a message, if you've heard me preach, you probably heard this message. One night I didn't close with this message about the two cats. and somebody come up forward and said, Gary, I liked your message, but you disappointed me. You didn't close with the message about the two cats. So I'm going to close with this message about the two cats because there's a lot of wisdom in it. Listen up. It's a story about a missionary that carried his big old Bible. He had a burden for the Indian people out west, and he rode on horseback from Indian village to Indian village, telling them about Jesus Christ. And one day, he was talking to an old Indian chief, telling him about Jesus. And the Indian chief asked Jesus Christ into his heart to be his Lord and his Savior. So the missionary, he went on to other villages, and he came back in about 3 or 4 months later. And that evening, he sat by the fire, and he was talking to the old Indian chief. And he asked him, how is it being a Christian now? And he says, you know, it's great, because my sins are forgiven. I know if I die today, I'd be in heaven. The load of sin is gone. I have that peace that passes all understanding. But he says, you know, there's two cats inside of me, and they fight. From the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed, they're fighting back and forth, back and forth. And the missionary says, what do you mean there's two cats inside of you fighting? I don't understand what you're saying. He says, one represents the old me, the old flesh, that wants to do the same old things that got me in trouble all the time. And the other cat represents Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living within me. And the flesh says, let's do this. And the Holy Spirit says, no, let's do this. And they're fighting all the time. From the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. And the missionary says, well, which cat usually wins? And here's the wisdom of the old Indian chief. The one I feed the most wins. The one I feed the most wins. And so many times I've been here at the jail, and guys and ladies both tell me, you know, I come into the jail, and I come here, and I get into the Word of God, and I start growing. And I say, I'm never coming back to this jail. But I always come back. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. Gary, what can I do to never come back? And that's why I tell them this story. Feed the right cat. Feed the Holy Spirit. Because the one you feed the most is the one that's going to control your life. Yeah, you feed the flesh, you'll be right back here. But if you feed the Holy Spirit, that means reading your Bible, praying to God, getting closer, memorizing Scripture. And when you get out, find a good Bible-believing church and the support of the brothers and sisters in Christ in that church that will help you grow. That you can be accountable to brothers and sisters in Christ. That when they see you starting to feed the flesh, they'll put their arm around you and say, hey, brother, it's time to feed the Spirit. It's time to get back with God. There's a saying I've read in one of these daily breads that says, if God is not as close as he used to be, guess who moved? It wasn't God, it was us. I'm going to close with some verses here from the Word of God. Romans 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 8 says, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? Wow, exciting. Mark 8, verse 36, it says, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own soul? In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, it says, when Jesus was hanging on the cross in pain, agony, ready to die, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. The ultimate forgiveness. He said some of his last words on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We talked about unforgiveness. God forgave, even in the last moments of his life, in pain and agony. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. No greater love ever shown than what Christ did right there. And in Revelations 3:20, Jesus Christ says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him. Maybe he's knocking on the door of your heart tonight. Maybe he's tugging. He's saying, hey, get right with me tonight. Get your sins forgiven. Start a new life like we just talked about. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, gone. Behold, all things are become new. Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're going to close here. We're going to give an altar call. We're going to play a song, Amazing Grace. And while that song plays, if the Lord's tugging tonight on your heart, it's time to come forward. And you know, this fellow right here wanted me to play that song, Amazing Grace, so that's why we're playing that particular song. And while we're I got to tell you, one quick story just came to mind. There was a man, years ago, during the slave trading era, he ran a ship. He'd haul people from Africa, treated them like dogs, made slaves of them, sold them like animals. He was a terrible man. But you know, that man got saved. He got born again. Christ changed his life. He became a preacher, and he wrote a song. You know what that song was? Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like him. If the Lord can change a man like him, he can change anyone. What a powerful message in that song. And when you listen to that song, remember, that man was a sinner. I mean, as bad as they come, and the Lord changed his life. If any man be in Christ, he is that new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So as the song plays, if the Lord's tugging, we have this booklet. Knowing God personally, I'll give it to you. And we'll say a sinner's prayer out loud together. And you can leave here tonight knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. Not what I'm saying, it's what Jesus said.